shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
World famous Bill Henry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. 877-876-7445 is our number. Hello, America. On the line this hour is Jay Sanos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk about gun safety and, you know, if you are a gun owner, they are checking right now. They're getting checked out on a range in the South Bay of Southern California. We're going to be talking with Jay, and we'll be there with him. We will be on the range with him and other members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as they are taking target practice and, you know, I guess testing their proficiency with their firearms. Not only are we here at 877-876-7445, the Phil Henry Show here as a talk show, you can also join us online at philhenryshow.com. And with a backstage pass, you can listen to archives. You can watch or listen to our live feed each and every night, which is a video cast. You can get the podcast the next day. It's automatically delivered to your device from our website. You can subscribe to it right there. You can, what else can you do? You can comment in our comment section. It gets pretty rowdy in there sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's all chill. It just depends. You can use the email that allows you to contact us here directly as a backstage pass holder. And that also allows you to vote on certain bits that we like to include in our Best Of series. In fact, we are compiling a Best of Bobby Dooley download that should be out next month, and our Backstage Pass members are the people that are picking that for us, just as they did the Ted Bell Best Of. So do it at philhenryshow.com with a Backstage Pass, and check it out. You can sign up right there. By the way, episode 23 of the Free Phil Henry Podcast is out at about starting tomorrow. It might be online right now, as a matter of fact, Bud. Did you see?
Yeah, it's all right. You can look at it right now on, if you go and to the banner.
Go to the banner on our homepage at philhenryshow.com. You'll see the podcast banner. That'll take you directly to where you need to go to get the podcast. You can also get it at iTunes. You can get it at Podcast Directory. Lots of places. All right, 877-876-7445. Jay Sanos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us from the South, from the South Bay. And you guys are over there at the River Club, right? Jay, is that near where you're located in Torrance?
Yeah, Bill, that's correct. The River Club is one of the more popular ranges. We've got six or seven right now. Our sub-commanders are out here getting checked out on their revolvers. Now, the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer police agency, which is very, you know, we are professionals. We're not, you know, carrying weapons because we are not licensed to carry firearms as a auxiliary police agency, but we do like our people to be checked out on them.
Why is that? If you don't carry them, are you allowed to?
Well, we as individuals, we have licenses. One or two of us, myself, Sub-Commander Gleason, Sub-Commander Epcot, have conceal and carry permits. Some of us, you know, are allowed to carry that way, but that's something that I don't think, you know, I want to talk about right here. I can just assure you we don't have we don't come with holstered weapons.
All right, if you guys are not out there with weapons as you do these patrol duties, and I can understand that being a volunteer agency, what are you checking these guys out for?
Well, we just want to know that there's not a lot of time, Phil, that I say to you, gee, you know what, Phil, I can't answer that question, but I guess that it would be better if I just said that.
That's going to make me suspicious in my listeners.
Well, I don't want to make you suspicious. I don't want to make you, suspicious.
I was saying suspicious.
No, I understand that. I don't want to make you that way because there's nothing really to be, suspicious about. It's about the fact that I just want to know that our guys are proficient in the use of a basic service revolver, in this case, 38, a Smith & Wesson 38, and some of the guys have some of them have a long barrel, some of them like to use a snub nose. I personally prefer a snub nose.
And why is that?
I just like the feel of it. I like the way it looks, not because of any kind of, it's not that I like the way it looks because of any kind of, I want to look special or anything. It just, it looks, you know, it looks good, and it looks good in the hand, and You know, if you drop a 38, if you drop a snub nose 38 on someone, they'll know that they've had it dropped on them. So, you guys already, we can give a demonstration here, Phil.
All right. So you guys are at the range. You all have 38s.
All the guys have 38s. I'm just got a guy, Sub Commander Gleason. Are you at the three? Smith & Wesson 38. Let me just. What is this? A hammer. It's a hammer was 38, all right, and over here, Sub-Commander Epkin, what's this?
Smith & Wesson special. It's a bodyguard 38. Same kind of snub nose you got.
That's right. It's not the same snub nose I have. My snub nose is, it's pretty badass.
Oh, okay, fine, whatever.
No, not whatever. All right, so let's go over to this next guy here.
What were you saying to him?
What's that, Phil? What were you?
What's that, Phil? I mean...
What was that, Phil?
What were you saying to that guy?
I was just saying he had a snub nose like me. He said he had a snub nose like me. And I said, are you talking about guns? Are you talking about, and ha, ha, ha,
No, you didn't say that.
Hold on, I'm going to talk to the guy.
Well, I didn't hear that exchange. What were you two guys saying about the guns, the pistols?
I was saying about a revolver, the service revolver, that his looks like mine... No, he said it looked like mine.
Yeah, I
said it looked like mine. I'm being interviewed on the radio, not you. I'm being interviewed on the radio, not you.
Okay.
He said it looked like mine. I said, no, it doesn't. His has more of a silver barrel. Mine's all black.
Okay, fine.
So can I keep...
Go ahead.
All right, let me go over here to Sub-Commander Raymond. How you doing tonight?
Real good. My wife's going to have a baby.
Yeah, Sub-Commander Raymond's wife is due to have a baby here pretty quick, Phil. Maybe sometime tonight. Sub-Commander Raymond has a Smith & Wesson 38. Is it a chief special?
Yeah, it's number 36. I like it a lot, and it feels good in my hand, feels good in my slacks, when I put it down the slacks.
You say you put it down the slacks. That's because we don't use holsters, Phil. If you are licensed in the Citizens Auxiliary Police to carry a concealed weapon, I prefer that my guys just put it right in your pocket. Or what we call slip it down your pants. And I think a lot of people have fun with that because they go, oh, we get it. It's like a phallic symbol. I go, no, it's not. But, we did that to make you think that because that's how childish some people are.
All right, so...
Right now, Phil, what we'll do is, all right, Sub-Commander Epkin, Sub-Commander Gleason, Sub-Commander Ellis. All right, they're all lined up. What we're going to do right now, Phil, is do just basic free firing into the targets down there. Target 4, Jimmy, if you could, okay?
Well, you did that last week, too.
All right, target 4, and we're going to demonstrate how our guys... Sub-Commander Gleason, you go right ahead.
You want me to do it myself?
Yeah, do it all by yourself.
No, I mean...
Just go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm still aiming.
You want to hit the middle of the...
I know. I'm aiming.
Go ahead.
I'm aiming.
Wait a minute, let me see this. Holy God.
Well, that's the one you said.
Oh, my God.
What?
He's got a pink You got a pink handle on this? It looks like a penis. That's exactly what it looked like. Look at the gun that this guy... He's got a 38 special pink air white... Oh, man.
That's my wife's gun. I didn't have
to... Yeah, big. You believe that, Phil?
All right, why don't you guys quit making fun of each other's guns? It's almost like standing in the shower when we're in high school looking at each other's penises.
Well, it's about as pink as... Well, I shouldn't say,
Shut up.
Go ahead.
I gotta aim.
You've been aiming now for... God.
What's with your guys, Jay? Don't they know how to aim?
Yes, they do know how to aim, but I threw him off because I noticed his pink gun. Go ahead.
Keep saying it. Go ahead. That's what I'm doing. I'm aiming.
How long does it take him to aim?
How long is it going to take you to aim? The host of the radio show wants to know. The host of the radio show wants to know how long it's going to take you to aim.
I don't know. How's that?
Do it again. How was it, Jimmy?
He missed.
You missed the whole bullet. You missed the whole target. You have to try it again.
Missed.
Is he hitting the target at all?
What?
Is he hitting the target at all?
No.
You're not hitting the target at all. You're not hitting no target at all.
I'm trying.
God, are you kidding me? No wonder you guys don't carry guns.
No. Do it again. Wait till you hear us. We do a drill called... God, you scared the hell out of me, you idiot! You fired a thing near my ear, you jackball! Bullseye! What?
You got a bullseye!
Got a bullseye?
Yeah.
You are deaf! I'm deaf! Oh, God, I'm deaf! No, I can't hear nothing because Gleason fired it right near my right ear. Again, Gleason fired it right near my right ear. Can't hear a damn thing. Ah, yeah! Yeah!
Will you guys exercise some caution out there?
What?
Will you exercise some caution out there?
I'm sorry, I can't hear a thing you're saying.
Just go ahead, man. Just go ahead.
I can't hear you, Phil. I'm going to assume you want me to go ahead. So.
Well, actually, we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking to him and his guys. They're out on the range.
Did you knock it off?
They're out on a gun range getting checked out. Here's the thing you ought to do, bud, is call them up. If you've got Jay's number, tell him. I don't know. Just tell him that, you know, find out how his hearing is. And we'll let him just go ahead and continue with this ridiculous target practice.
Well, that was only one guy. Maybe that's the only guy that don't know how to shoot.
Maybe that's the only guy that don't know how to shoot, huh? We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us as he and members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a group of sub-commanders, and we have to explain, Jay, what a sub-commander is, and I don't think that that's a bad thing to have. You know, it's a very unusual rank structure you have.
I don't think it's all that unusual, Phil. We have, and by the way, my ear... My hearing's coming back a little bit, but I told Sub-Commander Gleason, who is very proficient, by the way, with that .38, I told him you don't fire it when a guy's ear is 2 inches away.
Well, why do you say he's proficient?
Because ordinarily he is a very good shot. I think being on a radio and he got nervous.
He took 2 shots and he missed the target entirely.
I understand that. I know. I was here. I was standing here. I'm the guy who lost his hearing.
No, so why do you call that proficient?
Because the last shot, right through the bullseye, which is what we've come to expect of him, he blew my hearing out. I thought for sure I'd lost an eardrum, but, you know, in the end, it all come out. But he's got to be careful. And
you weren't standing too close.
No, I wasn't standing too close. I mean, I might have been, but I'm not going to, you know, I am a brigadier admiral. That gets your question, by the way, if you want to get to that, or we can sit here and keep jawjacking and playing with it. And paddling that over, you know, whether...
No, Jay, there's no sense in being sarcastic. I simply wanted to know if what you call proficient.
Well, the other guys are chomping at the bit. They want to get going with their field test here and with their range test.
All right. So the question is command structure, or rather the rank.
Yeah, rank in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Phil, is pretty standard. It's the same as any military ranks. With two exceptions, we have used the rank of Brigadier Admiral, which is second in command to the overall rank of Major. Now, that's unusual. I understand that because there's no, like, for instance, there's no Major in the Navy, and there's no Admiral in the Army. But we wanted to mix the ranks to represent the Citizens Auxiliary Police can go anywhere, anytime, do anything they want, anytime. And so... In so doing,
meaning you guys are on land as well on sea as well as sea.
Yeah, in a way, yes. We handle where any of the. Why are you doing that? No, I'm still talking on the radio with Mr. Henry. I would appreciate it, gentlemen, if you would holster that weapon. Holster that weapon. Holster that weapon right now. That's where I tell him, Phil. Obviously, that's. You hear what I just said?
Yeah.
I said holster that weapon. That's what we will say as police officers to holster that weapon, I told you. You hear me say that?
Blowing out your ass.
What'd you say?
Blowing out your ass.
He just told me to blow it out my ass? Okay, Sub-Commander Whippington, is that you?
No.
Get out of here. Go on, get out of here. Right now.
Bunch of bull crap anyway.
Yeah, well, you know what? You holster that weapon. That's what you say, holster that weapon.
Yes, I understand.
All right. So, that was Sub-Commander Whippington, who he just sent. He's got to sit in the van. You just sit in the car and you wait for me. So I sent him back to sit in the car just to...
It's kind of like a timeout, huh?
Well, you know, is that a shot you're taking at us, or...
Well, no, it was a little joke.
Yeah, it is kind of a timeout, but it's not no kid thing. I mean, he's going to sit and reflect on what he done. That's all. All right, so, basically, what we were... With somebody, I want someone else to fire so I can say, holster that weapon and let Mr. Henry hear how I... Yeah, holster that weapon! Here, that's what you say.
I got it. Holster that weapon.
Right, but you have to do it with a commanding voice. Holster that weapon. Gosh, we're in so much to cover, so much ground to cover, Phil.
Well, you got some guys. You've already sent one to the car for a timeout or whatever.
No, it wasn't no timeout. I wish you would not. You know, you make men who are committed to the safety of their community and have saved lives, you make us sound like we're a bunch of babies. You know.
Well, you sent him to the car to do what?
I sent him up to the car to reflect, yeah, on what he'd done. But that's not no baby timeout. This is real world, okay? This is real world.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
I said it's real world. Real world?
Real world.
That's right. This is a real world. And what?
Coming up there, man. Can I get a drink?
Can you get a what?
Can I get a drink?
No, you can't get a drink. Go back to the car, Whippington. Whippington, come out of the car. He wants a drink.
Want a drink of water?
You're not getting no drink of water. All right. You're making it sound like a bunch of babies over here. I'm on a radio with the Phil Henry Show. Holster your weapon, too.
Yeah.
All right, Phil. So, Sub-Commander is... We have Major, we have Brigadier Admiral, we have El Capitan. These are very unusual-sounding ranks, yes, but they are specific to a community policing. So, that's why we have different ranks. You're not going to have no Captain, Major, this and that, because it's going to scare people. We have Brigadier, we have the Major Elvis Newton, we have Brigadier Admiral Jay Santos, then we have El Capitan, then we have Major Domo, Major Domo, El Capitan, Major Domo, Major, I forget what it's called, Major Sergeant, and Sergeant Major. And
Major, what is Major Domo?
Major Domo is the same, it would be the same rank as Lieutenant.
And what's Major Sergeant?
That's the same as like a Sergeant Major, but we flip it around, see? We flipped it around. I can't say it good.
You flipped it around.
We flipped around, yeah. Flubbered around. I can't say it good. So we have Major Sergeant, and then we have Sergeant Staff. And that's a flip around of Staff Sergeant. And then we have Commander in Chief, and then Commander and Sub-Commander.
Well, I mean, and this is a rank structure that makes sense to you.
Absolutely, Phil. It makes sense to us. It enables cohesiveness in the ranks, and it just makes everyone feel chill, and everyone is, filled with... I think everybody has the... We're on the same page. Holster the weapon! You there! Holster your weapon!
I holster my weapon.
Oh, my God, he had it hanging out. You holster that?
Yeah.
Sounds to me like you got guys that are just, like, not very disciplined, you know?
I understand.
I mean, if you're going to call guys Major Domo and Commander-in-Chief, what's a Commander-in-Chief?
That's like it's a sub-star sergeant. It's like a private. Commander-in-Chief is a private first class. Commander is a private second class. And sub-commander is a private third class.
Because all I've ever heard you say is you got a lot of sub-commanders.
That's right. Because none of them have qualified yet to be no commander-in-chief or commander. We hope after we get done here on a firing range, we have some guys that can step up like men, go ahead and assume the rank of commander or commander-in-chief, or, you know, hopefully sergeant staff.
Or maybe even major sergeant.
Well, now I can tell you're making fun, you know.
Well, it sounds a little stupid. And Major Domo?
That's a major, and then Major Domo is lieutenant. And
El Capitan is a captain.
Right.
877-876-7445 here in the world famous Phil Henderson. God almighty.
I told you, holster it.
Anyway, 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show will be right back with Brigadier Admiral Santos.
Come on, holster it.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, they are checking out or qualifying, if you will, members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on a range in the South Bay tonight. It is the River Club, which is a firing range. It's a gun range where a lot of people go to gain proficiency in the use of firearms, which is what the Phil Henry Show would recommend, of course, to any and all who would be users of firearms. You must get training and qualify and become proficient with that use, and there's a lot of ways of doing it. Jay, what would you recommend besides, being on a range?
Well, I think, you can, I'm not sure I know what you mean, but in what sense?
And what would you recommend to the average person who is interested in gaining proficiency with a firearm?
Well, I don't know. You got to buy one. Is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I. Yes, of course you got to buy one.
I mean, that the first thing you got to do is own one. That's where I thought you were going at. So go buy a gun. No.
Are you telling me that if someone who doesn't know anything about guns, the first thing they should do is buy a gun?
I'm not sure I understand. Of course, but.
What about going to a range and renting one, or finding a teacher?
Oh, okay. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just went and I bought a snub nose. See, I had been watching, and again, it's not. I wasn't influenced by television, but I did see a Private Eye show where a guy has snub nose, and I want to get it. So I went. I went. I got a snub nose. But yeah, you're also right. I did get, tested on a proficiency and all that. So I did go get a snub nose, but I don't recommend people do that. I do recommend, I was going to recommend that you buy a gun, but you're right, Phil. You should first get better on, learn how to use one.
But you didn't do any of that.
No, I didn't do any of that. I bought one and played around with it, And
what do you mean you played around with it?
Well, I stood in front of a mirror and I was doing the twirling tricks and stuff like that. But I'm different,
Yeah, you're sure different, man.
Well, Phil, you can be a smart ass all you want. And
so you bought a snub nose. What'd you do?
I bought a snub nose and I did a bunch of twirl tricks. I was twirling around and that.
Did you put it in a holster?
Well, you're just trying to make me look like a complete ass. And
no, I'm asking you what you did so people will know what not to do.
I don't understand why you would be hostile at.
Didn't you just say, don't do what I do?
Yes, I did.
All right, don't do what Jay did, which is to buy a gun, then stand in front of a mirror and twirl it around to see if you can do the. What do you mean?
You're doing a twirl trick. And the reason why I did it is I knew, as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I was going to get proficient and get good at it. So I didn't need to do a lot of the steps that other people do. And
so when did you go get proficient?
The guys are here this week. When did I come out here? Last week I did. And
how long have you owned the gun?
Well, I've owned the gun for 2 years. And
so you only just last week did you go out and begin to get qualified on that gun? This is what I'm talking about.
But I'm different, Phil. I work on the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're about saving lives. And
it doesn't make any difference. What you're telling me is you're recommending do as I say, not as I do. You're recommending people go out and get training and get a teacher, and before you even consider buying any weapon at all, make sure you know how to use a gun, make sure. And you didn't do any of that stuff.
Because I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
We're about saving lives.
Yeah, we're about saving. Go ahead. I'm going to go up and down the line. What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about?
Okay, I heard two guys in that line that sounded, the guy that can't speak?
He's fine. That's Jerry. Jerry, you're good, right?
Good, yeah.
He's doing sign language. Don't make any noises, Jerry, because it scares me. Jerry, here, I'm going to check him. We're going to make Jerry proficient, okay? What do you say, guys? Yeah, let's do Jerry. And let's do Jerry. Let's do Jerry. Jerry just told us all to F off in deaf speak. So,
This is very distasteful to me, Jay.
I'm sorry, Phil. It's just, we're police officers. We kid around kind of rough, We don't mean nothing by it.
Yeah, you're police officers. You're volunteer guys that are firing weapons near people's ears.
Near people? What's a beeple? What's a beeple?
Cross between a beetle and a beeple.
See how quick my guys think? As soon as I said, what's a beeple, Sergeant Gleason had an answer.
That's great. That's great.
Well, you may not think it's a big deal.
Okay. So,
Hey, Jerry. We're going to check Jerry out, Phil. Here is Jerry. And Jerry is one of our subcommanders. And, yes, Jerry is speech. He don't talk too good, but Jerry's speech impaired. But, Jerry, what kind of weapon do you have? Go ahead and sign. Do the sign language on it. Okay, you got a Smith & Wesson. Third model double action. That is a sweet little, isn't that a little honey? You like that, huh? It's a sweet one. All right. Go ahead and let it rip. And don't do it near my ear, whatever you do. All right, let it rip. Yeah, 21. That's 21. Miss. That's two misses, but he got 21.
He got 21. What's that? What does that mean, he got 21?
Well, we're using targets that we bought over at, where's that target from, Bob? We got him at Toys R Us, but it's you got to understand something, Mr. Henry.
You got the targets at Toys R Us. Are these human-shaped? Are they...
Hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. No, it's a lawn dart target or something, but we got it at Toys R Us. You don't need to have no gun. You don't need to have no target. Don't shoot it yet, Jerry. Don't shoot it. Holster that weapon. I can't hear you. Oh, you can't hear me. Put the weapon up, Jerry. Here, give me the gun. All right. So, Jerry, you suck. Go sit in the car with Whiffington. Go sit in the car. All right. So there's two guys in the car now.
So, in other words, if they don't qualify, they go sit in the car?
Yeah, you got to sit in the car. And don't play the radio either. A lot of times they play the radio, they screw around. All right, who we got next here? Epco. Okay, this is Sub-Commander Epco. And Sub-Commander Epco, what kind of gun are we talking about? What do you got right there? All right, this is a long barrel. It's a Smith & Wesson long barrel. And it's a M917. It's a second model end frame. Right, you got an end frame there. That's nice, huh?
Right, and it's chambered for 45, though. It's the same.
It's chambered for 45.
That's correct, yes, sir.
All right, go ahead and let her rip. Hold on, let me get out of the way here.
All right, so you're standing right in front of the...
Yeah, I was standing in front of the bullseye, Phil. Bullseye! Okay, that's three bullseyes, but, I don't like the idea that's 45.
Yes, sir.
So, I'm going to give you a failing score because that's not a 38. And even though it is a long barrel, you don't have a snub nose. You don't have no snub nose, huh?
Yes, I don't want a snub nose.
Sit in the car. All right, so that's three guys.
Why'd you send that guy to the car? He got three bullseyes.
I know, but he's got a 45 there. And I told him he's got, I didn't tell him, but it bothers me that they went out and they freelance that way, right? And he doesn't have a snub nose. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's wrong with him.
So they got to have a snub nose. Okay, I got to keep that in mind.
Why? Are you going to be a member of Citizens Dollars Area Police?
No, not at all. But I would, I got to remember, you know, that you guys all carry snub nose.
Right. I don't know where he got that. He got a long barrel. That's pretty nice. But the fact is, 45, it's no good. No good at all. All right, let's go to the next guy here. Now, this is Subcommander Bluten. And, Bluten, I want to ask you a question here because I'm not sure. What do you got there in your pants?
Well, this is kind of a semi. It's a Glock. And I know that I'm not supposed to, but it's sweet. It's sweet. Well, you see what it can do, too. It's pretty sweet,
you know. All right, let her rip.
What do you think?
Jesus, man, you whipped off a bunch of shots. Is that guy, you okay?
Yeah, apparently.
I thought that guy was dead. Do that again. That's good shooting, Phil. So I'm gonna pass him. And
you're gonna pass that nut, huh? I don't know how many shots I heard.
That guy, man, he was letting it all. He had him dancing down there. Make him dance. Go ahead. You want to hear somebody dance, Phil? Look at this. Make him dance. Woo! Yeah, yeah. Make him dance. Dance! Dance! I said dance! Yeah. You got him dancing. So that's really what we're talking about. And
so that's what you're talking about, huh? Just having a guy firing multiple rounds from a handgun. You said that was a Glock?
That's right. It's automatic. Well, semi-automatic, and it was a beautiful thing. It should have been here.
No, I could hear it. All right, Jay, hold the line, and we'll be back as you qualify members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't know whether those guys are sub-commanders or if some of them are going to be promoted to commander or commander-in-chief or maybe even sergeant staff. We'll find out when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Let me see that gun. Let me see the weapon. Unholster that weapon. Yeah, that's bitching.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Sanis with us from the River Club, which is a shooting range. And you had a guy there who was... Now, let me talk to this other gentleman.
He's right here. Come here for a minute, will you, please? Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
This is Richard. Richard McNamara. And the reason why I came over to tell these people to vacate our range because...
What is your name again, sir?
Richard Mack. Ricardo Mack? No, my name is Richard, not Ricardo, okay? And I told this man, Mr. Santos, and his citizens auxiliary police, I don't know who they are, to vacate this range now. But the problem is, Mr. Henry, this guy comes over and starts telling me, you know, I've got to take all subcommanders. I told him that I already put two in a car. That doesn't mean anything for me. Man, I'm talking to the man on the radio right now. I want to speak to this man.
Okay. You've been ordered off the range.
I understand that. We're going to be leaving. Okay. You know, you flex your muscle. You got your little power base going. You feel good about it? Let me say... No. Do you feel good about it? Let me say something. That's my phone. I know it's your phone, but I'm talking on a radio right now.
Let the man... If that's his phone, I want to talk to him.
God, what a chip. Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Mr. Mack, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Santos and his officers have been told to get off the range.
Well, you say officers. I don't know if these men are police or not, but they had wearing a white hat, a white helmet, you know, a pith helmet. He said that's a uniform.
Yeah, they wear a pith helmet uniform.
But they look like, like six, retards standing.
All right. So who fired all those rounds?
This man over here. I don't know this man's name. I tell you, his name's Subcommander. Now, let me speak, okay? Subcommander what?
Subcommander Whitlock.
Subcommander Whitlock? You know his name?
No, I don't.
All right. He was the one that was firing his deeper rounds and almost killed, and I want to make this point, he almost killed the man who was target setting for us.
Bill Retko. And he almost killed him. And then they said to him, dance, or something like this, like they're playing some Wild West games. So that's why I came over to tell him they must, you have to leave.
I don't leave, you know, but I do want to speak to Trent one more time.
Why don't you get tell him to get on his phone?
Battery said for you to use your phone.
I don't want to use my phone because it uses up battery.
Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. So, sir, we have asked them to leave. If they do not leave, then, of course, we're going to call the police.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm going to call in to
get my phone back, if you don't mind.
Well, all right, he said he's going to call in, bud.
Right. Yeah, let me use my phone. So we called the police.
He's right here.
Okay, Jay?
Yeah, first of all, we are the police.
Oh, you're not the police. You're not the police.
I know, but we're the citizens' auxiliary police.
I don't know what they mean to say you're citizens' auxiliary police. I want the real police.
You are real police? I am a police officer, okay?
Not if they will. You shoot like you are a crazy man.
You know, Jay, can I jump in here? Jay.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're very nervous about guns these days. You know that, right?
Absolutely, Phil. We're really good, and with good reason. And yes, with good reason. And with good reason, Phil, and that's why we're trying to be proficient.
Well, you're not getting proficient with some jackass firing off multiple rounds from an automatic gun, this automatic 9mm he had, and then he's firing single shots, and then he's... Oh, this guy said he almost killed somebody.
No, he didn't almost kill any.
Yes, you did. He almost killed... You said dance.
That's different. We didn't kill him. We're aiming at his feet. And
you're aiming at a guy's feet, making him dance.
Yes. I mean, are you kidding me? Everybody knows that's one of the ways that you... It's one of the ways you get proficient. Everyone knows about that. I mean, I'm not saying like on a movies or anything, but you do have someone. You got to make a guy dance, don't you? Or
no, you don't. No, you don't. You can kill somebody that way.
How are you gonna kill him hitting him in the feet? See, that's the whole thing. We would not hit nobody in the feet. And
no, but you could bust. You know something, Jay? The cops are on the way there.
Yes, sir. The police officers are on the way, but these men have to clear out.
All right, we're leaving.
Yeah, I would suggest you get the hell out of there, man.
You know what I say? Get the hell out of here.
You don't mean that.
Get out of here. All of you. All of you. You too. The deaf mute. Take him.
Come on. He don't want us around no more.
I don't want any of you, you crazy freak. And take that other freak with you too.
Which one?
Yeah, that's a good point. So many of them. This one here. What's your name?
Come on.
What's his name?
I'm not going to tell you now.
What's your name?
Ralph.
I can't find out. His name's Ralph.
God, Ralph, what did you tell him your name for?
You see what I'm having to put up with? And this freak show started about 7 o'clock when these freaks come out of the car with all the helmet and a blue armband and Bermuda shorts. You know?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, you did the right thing, sir. You did the right thing.
Yes, sir.
And they are some kind of a posse, a citizens this or that, a bunch of clowns. And you did the right thing by getting them out of there.
This guy, get out of here, you freak. Guy snuck up back behind me and tried to pull my T-shirt up over my head like the guy in the TV commercial. You ever see that?
Yeah.
That's what this guy just done.
Hey, Ralph, can you do it?
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? No, he didn't get me. No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Ralph said he did.
No, he did not get me. Does my T-shirt look like it's over my head?
You might have pulled it down.
No way. See, this is the humiliation. And
what happened?
Nothing happened. He claims...
Yeah, Ralph pulled it right over his head.
He did not pull my T-shirt over my head. If he did, you'd see me with my T-shirt over my head.
Hey, Ralph, did you do it? Ralph said he did.
Okay, you know what? Get them out of there.
Get out of here. Mr. Henry said to get out of here.
He ain't no cop.
He's your cop.
You're not a cop either.
I'm your cop. I'm your cop today. God, you know these guys?
Yeah, no, I do not know them. I know Jay Santos.
That big tall, that ape came up, tried to pull my T-shirt over my head. And then Santos is going, hey, we did it. I go, look, you see a T-shirt on my head? No, you didn't.
Well, that's kind of a petty argument, isn't it?
No. What do you mean, petty? He said he...
Okay, never mind. So are they gone?
Yeah, they're getting in their cars now. They're taking their time.
smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, I'm dead.
Yeah, you guys get out of here before the police come. They lit up a bunch of cigarettes. Now they're playing grab.
What's going on?
They're playing grab ass.
You know, Jay, if you're listening, I suggest you get in your cars and get the hell out of there, okay?
Yeah, they're running around in the parking lot grabbing each other's ass. They're purposely trying to, you know, make me angry, and they're purposely trying to take their time.
Well, and then the cops are going to throw them in jail. Thank you very, very much, Bill, this evening, and so sorry for your trouble.
That's all right, sir.
And it's good talking with you, and I'm glad you run a responsible range there.
As well as you run the most responsible range, yes, sir.
All right, thank you very much. That's Bill there from the River Club, and Jay Santos and his segment. Did you hear those guys?
Yeah, that dad, I would never let him back there.
Unbelievable. Now they're up in the parking lot playing grab ass. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
We invite all of you to come down here to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight. I'm on the Phil Hendry Show, of course, and we're going to be talking about something that we feel is very, very important, and we would like to hear from people.
Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And, you know, that is the commercial for the show. That's the commercial for your restaurant, Ted, that we're going to be talking about tonight. And, of course, you're going to want to use that to promote the restaurant. But
I thought that tonight, because we're going to be talking about... We're going to be talking about my business, is what we're going to be talking about. And when it comes to my business, and I think you're the same way, Phil, and... you can put that on table three. And look, I'm going to move out of the... I'm standing right here near the kitchen.
You're at the restaurant now.
Yes, I am. Hold on. When you talk about my business, I think, Phil, when you talk about anybody's business, I think what you're doing is you are getting into an area that is very, very sensitive, and I think you need to know what it is you're talking about. And I think you've got to tread very, very lightly. When you talk about a man's business, it's like you're talking about his family. And when you presume to give a man advice about his business, then I think you're in the middle of something that you shouldn't be in the middle of. And that's where we find ourselves today, and I don't know if you still have that list.
We're talking to Ted Bell here, folks, and I'm sorry that we got out in front of this thing a little bit too fast. I have a list of... there were three. These are all men who head up different congregations in Southern California. Tyler Cushing of La Mirada Assembly, William Runton of First Christian in Monrovia, the Bible Study Center in Diamond Bar.
Are these all the only individuals that have been complaining about this?
There are them, and there have been people that have been calling. And so that's why I said when I talked to you earlier, I said, well, look, why don't we go on the air and talk about this? And you can air your grievances.
Well, I don't have the grievances, Phil. The problem is these people have grievances. That's the problem. And the problem is that these are people that are looking to tell me what to do with a business that I worked very, very hard on. Now, I've been on your program many times. As you know, I sponsor a full hour of the Phil Hendry Show. And I think that the listeners out there can appreciate that. And I'm not about to change the way I do business because, you know, these guys and other people who may or may not come to my restaurant, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a religious man yourself?
I don't think I need to answer that question.
Well, all right. I mean, were you raised Christian?
I don't think I need to answer that question. I think when you ask that question, you're trying to qualify me. And
no, I just thought I'd see what kind of commonality there might be. You know.
Well, what about you? Were you raised Christian?
I was raised Catholic.
All right. Do you still go to? I think you said you still go to Catholic Mass occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. I wouldn't call myself an overly religious guy, but I suppose I try to keep a sense of God in my life as much as I can.
All right. So in other words, Phil, and I don't mean any disrespect, but what you just gave me there is the typical media personality sort of get lost answer.
No, it's not get lost.
Well, yeah, it is, because, I try to keep God in my life. You don't want me to ask any questions, but you want to ask me.
Well, look, Ted, it's your restaurant that we're talking, and let me get everybody squared away on what we're talking about. We've had, over the course of time, on this radio show, since Ted has been a sponsor, and since he's been coming on and sponsoring this hour, we have had, from time to time, people who have been outspokenly critical of Ted's commercial jingle, and more to the point, the commercial slogan that he uses for his restaurant, which is, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." Now, you understand, Ted, as we've talked many times, that people perceive that to be obscene or not family friendly.
No, I absolutely understand that, yes.
And you have said time and again that it's not.
It is absolutely not. It is a advertising slogan that we went out and we contracted with an advertising agency in New York, and we wanted to come up with a slogan for our restaurant that was as direct as something, for instance, McDonald's used for many, many years, which is, "Come to the Golden Arches, you never had it so good." Or if you use the Burger King slogan for many years, "Have it your way." Now, those two slogans really spelled it out for the customer. Have it your way. You come to Burger King, you have the hamburger the way you want it. You never had it so good if you come to McDonald's. And if you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And what we're talking about is the best steak that you're ever going to eat in your life. Now, for me to fold under pressure from individuals who immediately want to read something filthy into that.
Do you understand how it can be seen that way?
I understand it will be seen that way by people who think that way.
And all right, Ted, let me interrupt. Do you understand that the people who have come in contact with us criticizing that, some of them are these men that I mentioned. These are ministers, preachers.
No, I understand that, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but if I have to be, I'm going to be, and I'm going to repeat what I just said. It is seen as obscene by people that think in obscene ways.
So you were saying that Dr. Cushing, Dr. Runton, Dr. Pethering.
By the way, excuse me, what are they doctors of?
These are men who are doctors of theology.
All right, and what was your question?
Are you saying that those men think in obscene ways?
Absolutely. Yes, I am.
And that those men, when they hear that, can only think of one thing?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes. See, Phil, and I want to appeal to your listeners. The best way that I know how is to just say this directly. This is my business. I worked very hard to get this business to where it is today. And if I want to put a slogan on a billboard that says, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," and it's going to be seen by customers all over Southern California and all over the Bay Area and all over Washington, D.C., wherever we have a Ted's of Beverly Hills. Right now, we've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills in the East Bay, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Miami, and here in Southern California. And we had the restaurant in Hawaii, and we're retooling the restaurant in Honolulu, but we've got those four. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling your audience, that advertising slogan is going to be seen on billboards wherever we have a restaurant. It'll be heard on radio commercials, and I'm not changing anything. So I still don't understand what it is we're talking about.
We've had people who want to who want you to explain why that slogan.
Because we paid for it, because an advertising agency came up with it, because I like it, because it advertises the restaurant very well.
Okay, so when and this is just Ted, I'm a friend of yours, okay?
No, I understand it.
When someone says to me, as Dr. Cushing did, that it came to his attention when he was driving down the 605 and he saw a billboard, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and he's driving with two of his kids.
No, I understand.
All right, you understand then with someone driving with their kids.
Well, if that man was driving with his kids, then he should have said to those kids, "Oh, kids, that doesn't mean anything." If the children reacted to it in a dirty way, I don't know what happened in the car. Yeah, did the kids go, "Ooh, Daddy, that's dirty," or did he, or what happened? But he could say to them, "No, that's about a restaurant that serves steak." You know.
Well, he said that he came home and put the phone call into us, and.
No, but what I'm asking you is this: when he saw the billboard, did his children react to it?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't know. And let me I'll give you the answer, and I wasn't even in the car. No, they didn't.
And well, come on. Ted, you know as well as I do the kids are going to react to things.
No, I understand that they will, but they're not going to react to that. Why would they react to that?
Why would they react to that? We live in a day and age, Ted, of South Park, of The Simpsons, double entendre.
That is not double entendre. And that's what I resent more than anything else. It's not double entendre. I mean it exactly as I say it. We got great steak. We want to put it in your mouth. Where do you eat your food? In your mouth. Where do you chew it? With your teeth. I'm not going to be bullied, Phil, by your religious friends or whoever they are.
They're not friends of mine. These are people who just called the show.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be bullied by people because they have filth between their ears. And they want to, you know, affect my business. I find this to be very, very, I think this is very evil, if you want my honest opinion, because here I am with a business that I've spent a lot of hours building up, and down the 605 drives some guy with a turned-around collar, and he sees this billboard, and he immediately goes home and makes a call to you, and now he's going to get himself, he's going to become an advocate for some kind of family-oriented thing. I don't like it, and you can hear my throat.
Do you have a cold?
I'm suffering with a cold, yeah.
All right, you want to take a break?
I would appreciate that, yeah.
All right, Ted Bell is with us here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking about the slogan to his restaurant, which is Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's been an advertiser of ours for a long time. Can we play that again, bud? Just listen to this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse.
Well, you know what? In any event, we're going to be playing this coming out of the stop set, but the slogan here at the end of this commercial has got the attention of a number of people in the religious community. They want to change. Ted says he won't.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
There it is. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show will be right back, and PhilHenryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. And we are very proud of our business, and we hope you bring your family in and enjoy a great meal at Ted's.
Here at Ted's.
Sing it.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
And that's what we mean, Phil.
All right, joining us is Ted Bell. He is the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, a very, very well-known steakhouse here in Southern California and in Northern California in Washington, D.C. They have a Ted's of Beverly Hills, actually, in Georgetown or the Capitol Hill District?
That's the Capitol, yeah, what they call the Capital City District.
Okay, and then South Beach.
South Beach, Miami, and we have, we're retooling, and we are reopening our Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu early 2013.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu. I don't know, man. I want to go to that one.
Oh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. And
where are you?
We're Waikiki, right near the Royal Hawaiian. And I'll tell you something, Bill.
I just love the idea of a Ted's of Beverly Hills in Honolulu. You know.
Well, we wanted to call it. Somebody want to go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, Hawaii? No, no. No, I like the very classic sound of Honolulu. And let's face it, at one time and still, I think Honolulu was. Not just the capital of Hawaii and certainly a tourist destination, it was in its own way an entertainment capital. And so we want to bring a little bit of that back to Honolulu.
All right, well, what we're talking about here, folks, if you're just joining us, Ted has an advertising slogan that you just heard. We want to put our meat in your mouth, and we've gotten complaints over the years that we have very, very, very strenuously defended you, Ted. What happened was, though, we got Pastor Cushing and a few of these members of the religious community here in Los Angeles, as well as elsewhere within the sound of our radio show, within reach of our radio show. And the fact that you have, like so many businesses, I think In-N-Out has a truck that goes out, right?
Yeah, well, we've got, we take out the Ted Lunch, which we call the Ted Lunch Wagon, and we want to put our meat in your mouth emblazoned on the side. That is the slogan. And I don't know a company that's involved in the food delivery or restaurant business that doesn't go out when they are taking one of their promotional vehicles out, whether it's Murray Lender with his bagels, and I know Murray, and he's a wonderful guy. But you've got the name of his business right there on the side, and we do as well. The fact that we're going to Wanton High School, which I understand is a private Christian high school, but we were invited there by the senior class, and we're going to serve lunch to some 120 senior students. And I don't know that the so-called administration there has the right to keep my business from doing business.
If you're a parent, and I know you are a parent, that's not a very difficult thing to figure out. The school is ultimately in charge of who or what comes on their campus.
Well, I don't know what you mean by what, but...
Well, you know what I mean. They're...
I understand that they are there to protect the kids, absolutely.
Of course, they're not only there to protect the kids, they are the surrogate parents... While the kids are there, they are there to see that the children are safe. They're there to make sure that the kids are educated.
I understand it, Phil. And what you're getting at, if I may, you're getting at what you think is me coming on campus with our lunch truck, and with the slogan "We want to put our meat in your mouth." You're saying that I'm somehow violating the safety of those kids. And
well, no, not the safety. No.
Well, then what are we doing wrong?
You're going onto the campus with a advertising slogan that perhaps the teachers, the administration, and the parents would rather you not have on that truck.
Well, they're not telling me what to do.
Now, I understand that. But they can certainly tell you whether you can come on that campus or not.
I don't think so.
Why would you say that, Ted? The
senior class invited me. And
the senior class invited you. These are all underage kids.
Well, they are the senior class. They invited us. They want us there for, I think they're having a senior class lunch that will be ahead of a weekend that's going to have a basketball weekend, that they're going to have a formal. And we're going to serve lunch. And
why would you go onto that campus even if you're told not to?
Who am I told not to by?
If you're told not to by the administration there.
If we're told not to by the administration. Then I would ask them why, and they would say, "Because we want to put your meat in our mouth." Is that it?
Well, I don't. That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's what they're saying. Are they going to say that to me? Are they going to have the guts to say to me, "We don't want you on our campus because the advertising slogan on the side of your truck says we want to put our meat in your mouth"? Are they going to say that to me?
I think what they're going to say to you is the following: it's not a family-friendly slogan.
Okay, right there is a lawsuit, right there. I'm glad you said that. And I was waiting for you to say it because I wasn't going to say it. But right there is a lawsuit. And the lawsuit is the following thing. It is them saying that my business is not family-friendly, which is an absolute insult, which is it's beyond an insult. It is a slander, and if they publish that on the air, if I hear any one of them come on your radio show and say that, then it's libel.
Ted, I'm telling you what they said to me.
Right, and I wanted you to tell me that because, I understand they got an opinion, but the minute they say that themselves, and I want them to say that, I want to see if they got the guts to say that I don't run a family-friendly business.
Do you understand? Can I ask you a question?
Well, you're gonna ask me the same question you've been asking me, Phil.
No. I'm just going to... maybe I didn't ask it clear enough. Do you understand the concern of some people when they say... Because I've said it to you over the years. I've said to you, gee, what's with that slogan? Have you ever gotten any trouble for it?
Oh, I know you have, and I have cleared it up time and again with you. And so you're going to ask me, do I understand parents and teachers having a problem with we want to put our meat in your mouth? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Do I understand them having a problem with it? If they have a sewer in place of a mind. Yes, I understand that.
All right, so anyone that says to you, whether they're a parent or whether they're a religious leader, your slogan is not family-friendly. They have, instead of a mind, a sewer.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You see, Phil, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to back down, and this has got nothing to do with religion. They could be anybody. I'm not backing down in the face of hypocrites, bigots, people with prejudice, and people that would rather think filthy thoughts than let a man run his business. I'm not backing down. Ted Bell.
Okay, great. We'll be right back here. So there's Ted Bell. The slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, has now become a controversy at least a couple of the schools where they want to send their lunch wagon. Is it family friendly? We want to put our meat in your mouth is the name of this, is the slogan that a New York advertising agency came up with for Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Never.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, this is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we are very, very anxious to have you in our restaurant. We don't want anybody to be uncomfortable in our restaurant. We like to say we want to put our meat in your mouth because we mean our steak. We don't mean anything.
All right, hold on.
But we don't mean anything other than that.
All right, hold on. Ted, you have a couple of advertising. We're talking with Ted Bell about the about his restaurant's advertising slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, which has come under attack. It's on billboards in Southern California and elsewhere where Ted's restaurants are.
I had a phone call from somebody in Virginia Falls, Virginia, who had been in Washington, D.C. and had seen our restaurant. And I said, it's nice to meet you, and I thought it was a courtesy call, and this was an individual who had gone to the capital city and said, well, he saw the billboard, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and he said he considered it to be an affront. And I said to him, sir, let me ask you a question. This guy was a businessman from Virginia Falls, and he said, go ahead. I said, what is the Girl Scout slogan? I said, the Girl Scouts are you familiar with the Girl Scout the cookie that they sell, or I don't know how they, how often they do that, Phil?
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies.
Right, Girl Scout cookies, and they do that every what?
I don't know. I think it's in the winter. It might be in the wintertime.
All right, and I said to the gentleman, are you familiar with the Girl Scout? And he said, of course I am. I said, okay, everybody is. I said, do you know what their slogan is? And he said, no. I said, it's do a good turn daily. I said, for me, I don't care. But they have been allowed to get away with that for years. And he sort of stopped, and he said, well, are you referring to, and we talked about it. I said, yes. He said, well, I can understand that. He said, but that is a little more subtle then we want to put our meat in your mouth. I said, well, you know what? Then you're just prejudiced against a businessman, and you're prejudiced in favor of a bunch of little girls. And I said, and quite frankly, I find that very suspicious, and I hung the phone up on him because he wanted to give these kids the benefit of the doubt on Do a Good Turn. And
all right, well, you're losing me because I don't know what's wrong with Do a Good Turn Daily.
I don't know what to say to you.
Well, you're going to have to say something because I think my audience is lost and I am too.
Well, if your audience is lost, you are, then let me say this. What do you do every day? Nature's calling.
Okay, I know what you mean. I mean...
Yeah, a turn.
Oh, come on, Ted.
No, I'm not. Come on, Ted. I'm telling you that the Girl Scout slogan can be interpreted to say, sit down and take a crap once a day.
And do you honestly believe that that's what they...
Oh, excuse me. I didn't come on your program to get yelled at. All right.
I'm sorry, Ted, but do you honestly believe that that's what the Girl Scouts of America...
I don't know, but that's what can be interpreted. And that's what I try to say to this gentleman. And he said, well, I don't see that. And I said, but that's because I think you sticking up for Girl Scouts is very, I think that is it. Somebody ought to look into that, is what I said to him, and I hung the phone up.
So in other words, this man, I just want to be clear on what happened on the phone conversation.
All right.
The man called up and said that I don't like your we want to put our meat in your mouth slogan. And you said, well, what about the Girl Scouts Do a Good Turn Daily, which you think means a bowel movement, I guess.
Yes.
And the man said that he didn't see it and he stuck up for the Girl Scouts, and you took that to mean he's a pedophile.
I said I was very suspicious and I hung up on him, yeah. Now, Phil, you know, there are countless examples of this. The Skittles example, which is Taste the Rainbow. Some people...
What is it again?
It's Taste the Rainbow.
Okay.
Some people are extremely uncomfortable with that. I am. I'm very uncomfortable with it because I believe it has adult overtones.
What adult overtone?
Again, you are forcing me into articulating these things that I personally don't want to articulate because I don't necessarily think there is anything wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with Do a Good Turn Daily. I just told this man that's what you could interpret that to mean.
I just don't see the Girl Scouts.
Well, hold the phone here, Phil. I've got a slogan that says we want to put our meat in your mouth. I don't mean anything dirty by that. I mean we want you to taste our steak. The Girl Scouts have a slogan, Do a Good Turn Daily. I don't think there's anything dirty about it, but there's some animal out there that's going to take that to mean, oh, the Girl Scouts are reminding you to sit on the toilet once a day.
Well, if there is somebody out there that is taking that meaning from that...
You would think that they're sick, right?
I would.
Okay, why don't you give me the benefit of the doubt and say, if somebody takes my slogan, which is we want to put our meat in your mouth, and they take that to mean something dirty, that you think they're sick. You want to know why, Phil? Because you want to see a businessman like me run into the ground until there's nothing left. And
no, that is not. That is absolute and utter horse dung.
Well, then why don't you stick up for me instead of sticking up for all of your Obama friends? And
whoa, hold on for a minute, man. If this is all of a sudden a political thing...
Absolutely a political thing. You better believe it. A man just won the election in Florida tonight. A guy that's going to, I think, bring this country back, Mitt Romney. I don't think Mitt Romney has... He's a Mormon, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though he's a Mormon, I don't think he would ever say to me, I don't like your, the meat in your mouth slogan. I don't know what he would say about whether, he would eat at my restaurant, but I don't think he'd ever take my right away from me to do that. And the same thing goes with Skittles.
And this whole Skittles thing is very strange with you saying that it is a...
What is strange about it?
Well, you say that, come taste the rainbow, is that it?
That is exactly right.
And you think that's what?
I think it's extremely adult.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm going to go over here to Ronnie in San Antonio. Ronnie, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good.
Listen, I want to ask this gentleman, your name is Ted, right?
Ted Bell, yes, sir. All right. Well, I don't know your restaurant. I haven't eaten at your restaurant. I don't probably plan on eating at your restaurant because we don't have. I don't know if you've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills in San Antonio or not, but we do not. All right. Well, if I was driving down the road and I saw a billboard that said we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I had my wife, and I've got two little girls in my family, and I saw that on the billboard, it would upset me, and I would definitely want to do something about getting that taken down. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Well, it doesn't matter if it doesn't mean what I think it means. It means, I think, in the mind of everyone, what it means. And I would have to explain that to not only my wife, I'd have to explain it to my daughters.
Wait, would you would...
I want to find out. You would explain this to how old are your daughters? Well, my daughters are 4 and 5. I'm not telling you that. You would explain that to your... You tell your daughters what you thought it meant? I'm not saying that I would... In a graphic way.
Well, wait, sir. Can I ask you something? This is Phil.
Yeah.
You got a 4 and 5 year old, 4 and 5 year old daughters.
Yes, I do.
Then why would you even begin to explain to them what you think that means?
Because someone's going to have to do that. This man has decided that he wants to expose my family to that. I didn't expose your family to anything. There's a billboard there, and you're going to explain this to your 4 and 5 year olds? I'm going to be discussing it with my wife. Why would you discuss it with your wife? Because we're in the car together. We're in the car. We're talking about it. And my daughters are naturally going to say, what are you talking about? And if I tell them that it's adult stuff, then we've got an argument. And that's an argument I'm not going to win because now I'm driving a car and I got 3 women who are in my ear. And screaming their obscenities.
Wait, sir.
I got it, Phil. Let me grab it, Phil. Okay, I got it. All right, relax.
No, don't tell me you got it.
I got it. Are you trying to tell me that your daughters of ages 4 and 5 and your wife will gang up on you because you told your daughters it's none of their business? I don't know if you know anything about. The way things are these days. But women, even children, little girls, you can't just tell them it's none of your business. They're going to want to know why.
I got to ask a question. Why can't you tell a 4 and a 5 year old? Why do you even have to tell? Just say it's none of your business. Daddy and mommy are talking. Don't even talk about it.
Well, you're telling me not to talk. I have to talk about it. Why? Because Mr. Bell here put the billboard out on the road. And I'm looking at, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and naturally I'm going to say to my wife and my daughters, did you see that? About putting this meat in your mouth, I got to explain it to you now.
You're going to talk about this to your 4 and 5 year olds, even though they haven't asked.
What do you mean they haven't asked? I have to assume, let me ask something, sir, this is Ted Bell. Can they read? Can who? Can what? Who can read? Can your daughters read? No, they're too young. Well, then how do you know they know what that says? Because I'm going to tell them.
Why would you tell them if they can't read?
I don't appreciate you yelling, sir. I called your program. I was being direct, but I wasn't yelling. This is Ted Bell. Why would you tell these girls what it says if they can't read? Who's this? It's Ted Bell. Well, who's the other one?
This is Phil Hendry, sir. I'm sorry that I yelled. Why would you tell your 4 and 5 year olds what it says?
Because they're going to ask me!
All right, pal, I got to hang up on you.
Oh, yeah, you'll hang up on me now!
Wow, man. Wow.
Well, it's your radio show, Phil. I did not... let the record show, I did not put that guy on the air. You did.
Well, that guy is just wound too tight. That's his problem. He ain't even in this world, he's got bigger problems than whether his 4 and 5 year olds can read billboards.
I agree.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL here on the world famous Phil. Wow.
You talk about rap too tight.
Anyway, we'll be right back here. We'll be right back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Ted Bell's Billboard. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Is it too adult, or is it just that we've got filthy minds and we're reading things into it? We'll be back. Phil Hendry
Truth
Show.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, is this Ron? Ronnie?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hendry. I'm awfully sorry that I lost my temper, but I think Mr. Bell was not being fair. Ronnie, I did not mean to gang up on you the way you said your wife and your daughter did, but if your kids can't read, and this is all I'm trying to figure out, if your kids can't read... If my kids can't read, Mr. Bell, which they cannot read, then I have to explain to them what's on the sign.
Why do you have to do that?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry, the host.
Okay, sir, the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm looking at Mr. Bell's sign, and it says, I want to put my meat in your mouth. No, it doesn't. It says, we. All right? And my duty to my wife and to my children is to say to them, that billboard is filth, and it says, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And am I not supposed to say to my wife and to my daughters, he most likely intends you?
Oh, my God.
Why would you do that, sir? I don't understand. Because you're the one that put me in that position, sir.
All right, I want to talk to a gentleman who actually had a comment for you, Ron. His name is David. David's on the line here. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell and Ron in San Antonio.
Hey, Phil. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Ted. How you doing? Hey,
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you. My comment to you, man, is you're supposed to be the man of the house there. Why are you so worried about three women or two little girls and your wife ganging up on you? I mean, why is that such a problem for you? You know, when you're supposed to be the man and explain...
How do you explain that, then? Well, can you tell me how I'm supposed to explain that? How am I supposed to explain that?
Explain what? We want to put our meat in your mouth.
The sign says... The billboard says we want to put our meat... The billboard says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I'm supposed to explain that to two little girls?
Well, first of all, 4 and 5, I think, is a little bit too young for them to even fathom what it might mean. But if they were,
that's my
if they
point.
Were to read it, if they were to read it, and they were to ask, you tell them just like what Ted said. It's a restaurant that serves steak, and they want you to experience by putting the meat in the mouth.
They know I'm going to be. They know I'll be lying. My wife is going to be there.
Why would a little 4-year-old know that
lying?
You're?
They're 4 and 5 years old. They don't even know what lying is yet. How do they know you're going to be lying? Your wife is
because
going to
I'll
pass
tell you.
You off.
If I may say, I'll tell you why, because my wife is sitting there. My wife is a woman. She'll see that. The kids will see that she's reacting negatively.
What is it with... I want to ask you something, Ron. You and your wife don't seem to have a very good, what we would call in the world, poker face, you know, where you just kind of keep the face blank until you get home, and then you can talk about it like adults.
I don't know what you mean. Do you have children, Mr. Hendry?
I did. I mean, they're all grown up.
Well, did you ever see, and what did you say to them?
I explained to them the best way I could. I said, hey, kids, you know, this is, that's really kind of bad, or that's really, this is what's intended. The kids would ask. If they didn't ask, I would not bring it up.
Well, you must have had some stupid kids.
Oh, okay, sir. Well.
Well, you got, listen, you're attacking a man's kid's intelligence? Well, do you have kids? I have one, yes. And what do you say to them? I said, I have one. And what do you say to them? Wow, this guy...
He's got one kid.
What do you say to them?
One kid, not them. All right, listen, thanks very much, Ronnie.
Well, you know, I know they don't have the guts.
Thank you very, very much, David, for your contribution to that falderall. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, I believe this is David. Or no, this is John. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Oh, yes, sir. How you doing?
I think that guy's mentally disturbed.
Can I say something?
No, I just want
Hello.
To
say that
last caller was mentally, disturbed.
Is this Ted Bell?
Hey, don't interrupt me.
Is this Ted
Bell? Hey, Ted. Ted.
I just was saying the last guy was mentally disturbed.
Okay.
You mentally
Go ahead, John.
You mentally disturbed for coming over there. You actually pay for that advertisement.
Yeah, and you know what? It works. It brings them in by the droves.
It wouldn't work.
Bring them in by the thousands.
It wouldn't work for me. I would keep going if I had even seen that billboard. If they, think about this.
Why not?
You would have better customers. You'd have a better business. And just think how many people you're turning away.
I'm not. How many people do you think I'm turning away, sir? I do a very good business.
You're turning away.
Are you? Why would you not? Why would you keep going?
You would do better because I don't want you putting your meat in your mouth. Come on, that's ignorant advertising.
You don't want to put your meat in your mouth.
You acting like a moron.
You sound like you sound like a jackass. I don't think you even know what a good steak is. You know what you think a good steak is? Sizzler. Why don't you go back to Sizzler and have yourself a steak?
It would be better than yours.
Okay, well, this was a pointless call. But anyway, thanks for calling, sir. You did not very well. 877-876-PHIL. It's World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why don't you do better screening on your phone calls?
What are you talking about? The guy wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, he sounded like, Is that one of these characters that you do, or is that...
877? No, it isn't. 877-876-PHIL. We'll move on here to David. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Phil, I'm going to be very respectful, and I'm going to make it short, because that remark to me, having grown-up kids and who like to question you and try to understand stuff like that, that is just very sexual, straight up.
No, it is. No, it is. Only to people with a filthy mind.
Filthy mind. No, sir.
Yes.
No,
yes.
With what's going on in this world nowadays and in our society, I come from a background where stuff like that is just not said at all.
I'm sorry if
you don't find it that way, sir. I apologize.
Well, all I'm trying to say is the following thing. If you see that on a billboard and your kid asks you, what does that mean, what are you going to say?
No, I mean, a billboard like that would have description. Maybe it'll show you a steak or so. So that doesn't... But if it's just written,
This is your billboard,
your
right, Ted?
Yeah, it's my billboard, and all it says is, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And then there's a picture of a beautiful woman.
Oh, come on, man. That can only mean one thing.
What a... You got a real sewer for a mind. You know that? Both of you guys.
Both of us, huh?
Yeah. You and this David.
Sir.
Really. Yeah. Are you Catholic? Go to confession. Clean your brain up. There's nothing wrong with advertising.
I am a church-going person.
You're a whole church?
Church.
Okay.
You ask anybody, take a vote on that, and they'll let you know.
Bullcrap.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they don't dare. Of course, we have our website, philhendryshow.com. That's where you can go and get live video of the show right now. If you're watching the show, then you know this. You're watching Phil TV in HD. And on occasion, of course, on Phil TV in HD, we are showing you clips of this, that, something else, things that might be in the news. During our news and information hour, we do that. But you can just watch us performing the show. You get a backstage pass. You can hear all of our archive material. And by the way, tonight at midnight, we announce the winner of our free BSP for the month of February, because at the stroke of midnight will be the first day of February, which is Black History Month and Phil History Month. So at midnight, we'll announce the winner of our free BSP. On the line with us here from Beverly Hills, California, is our very good friend Ted Bell, as we talk about the advertising slogan of his restaurant that's gotten a little bit of heat.
Thank you very much, Phil. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'll tell you something.
As long as there is breath in my body, as long as there's breath in my soul, we've got dinner to serve you. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Go ahead.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
There it is. We want to put our meat in your mouth. That's what has caused the controversy. That's what's caused some of the people. And I mentioned the names of these individuals, which you sort of poo-pooed, Ted.
Well, they're religious leaders in the Southern California area, and I don't think that there's any secret to the fact that these people can, at the drop of a hat, marshal the forces of God knows how many phone callers.
Well, we haven't been exactly, you know, I know how that game is played, so I don't get swayed by phone calls, believe me.
But when you get a letter from a religious leader, then, Phil, and I respect you, but I think you tend to get a little shy. I think you tend to get a little schoolmarmish.
I get schoolmarmish when?
When you get a letter from anybody that has a theologian, you know, attached to his name. And I think that what I said to the gentleman who called last hour, when that man was, and by the way, I want to say something right now. I'm sick to my stomach of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and I want to make a comment about that at some point. Is that okay?
Yeah. Why?
Because I see there's sex and...
What?
Never mind. I'm disgusted by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration allowing sex, and I mean, you know what I'm talking about, to take place inside the cabins of these weightless aircraft. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do not know what you're saying.
All right, well, I guess that makes me sound like I'm insane, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Let's get back to...
Well, all right, Phil, can I explain?
No, I want to get back to this. We'll talk about the rest of it.
All right, well, what I'm saying is, we want to put our meat in your mouth is a slogan that we have had for many, many years, and because I've gotten pressure from people to take that slogan off of our billboard or to take that slogan off of our advertising, I will not do it, and I don't want to appear as if I'm not working with the public on this. But, you know, when a man's driving down the road, and that guy that I talked to there from San Antonio, really, and he screamed, you could tell he had mental issues. And
well, he was saying that he didn't want to have to talk about it in front of his daughters, but he'd have to because his wife would probably spill the beans. His whole thing, you know...
Well, his thing was that he had three, quote, women in the car. Well, he's got one woman and a 4- and a 5-year-old. And he said that he couldn't, that he'd be ganged up on. I understand how it is, but I dare say that I think I'd have a hard time with a 4- to 5-year-old.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. On the line we have Lori. Hi, Lori. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hello,
ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Hi, this is Ted Bell.
I would like to say first, I would never censor you because we live in the United States, and I do believe that it's our great right to never have to be censored. But I do agree with a lot of people in thinking that it is inappropriate in the fact that you know what many people think, even though it's not, it's mostly dirty-minded people, but it's not even that.
Yes.
This world has brought us to this point where a lot of people immediately think that. And I think individuals that knowingly put that stuff out there, knowing the controversy that it's going to create, and knowingly continue to advertise that way, I just don't think it's a correct thing, and it's going to eventually bring this world to a very bad place, one step at a time.
Well, ma'am, this is Ted Bell. Are you saying that because I've got an advertising slogan that I paid top dollar for, and that has been effective in driving business to my restaurant, you're saying that I still need to get rid of it because some people have a sewer for a mind?
I'm not saying that you need to get rid of it. I'm saying that it's sad that the world has come to this point where we're continuing to allow, not to allow, but that people just put that out there in the world for everyone to see. I'm sure you probably have a sexy woman on there, and then there's meat. A lot of people are...
All we have is...
Meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
They're going to instantly think that. I mean, whether it's right or wrong, of course it's going to bring business to you because sex sells.
Right.
But,
well, can I tell you something? Because this is very interesting advertising. When I was a kid, and you sound like a very young lady, you may not know this, the name of this group, but when I was a kid, I was a very big fan of a group called Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Sabbath had a member of their band, and his name was Geezer Butler, all right? Now, they were British, and so, but when I was a kid, the term geezer meant a guy that used heroin. And when I heard his name was Geezer Butler, I developed a heroin habit because I wanted to be like Black Sabbath.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And my father, Phil, my dear father, is the one that got me off of that and got me on this. My father was an alcoholic. So I learned that a weak mind, a mind that you and I, Lori, we would never want to be around a mind like that. A weak, sniveling mind will take anything.
If we want to protect other people, if we care about other people, we want to protect those weak minds. I mean, I know this is probably people in my family.
Let me bring on this gentleman, Ron, who I think you got him on hold, Phil.
I didn't know we were going to put him back on the air.
I want to put him back. But, Ron, are you there? I'm right here, yeah. All right, would you explain to this lady? Ma'am, my name is Ron Beautreve, and I am a father. I live in San Antonio, Texas. I saw this billboard that said, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." I had my 4 and my 5-year-old daughters with me. I had my wife with me. I immediately pulled the car over because I was a little bit in shock and told my wife, "Did you see that?" And my wife and I began discussing it. And the next thing you know, I've got a 4-year-old in me, standing up on the back seat in my ear saying, "Discuss, what are you talking about, Daddy?" And wouldn't shut up. And before I knew it, I had 3 women. All of them wanted to know about a meat and putting it in your mouth and everything. This is what I'm trying to say to Mr.
As a father, you have to be the adult, and you have to stand up and be the man of your family and protect them from things like that. All you need to say is that it's inappropriate. Many people will take it as inappropriate. It's not necessarily inappropriate, but we need to guard our minds from things like that for those that put that out there for everyone.
Well, I was trying to do that. I was trying to do that, Lori.
How are you trying to do that, sir?
Well, I was doing hand signs to my wife. I didn't want the kids to see. So, for instance, when I saw the sign, it says, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," I opened my mouth, and I'm going, pointing to it. My daughters immediately...
At that point, you should have said, "This is not a discussion for now. If we want to discuss this, we can discuss this at home." Because I know that's what my husband would have done. He would have not brought that up in front of children.
I did not bring it up. I didn't bring it up in front of... Yes, ma'am. I didn't bring it up in front of children because I was using hand signals. And so I was saying to my wife, I don't know how to do it on the radio, but I was...
In a car with young children is inappropriate.
Yes.
Completely.
If you're pointing to your mouth, sir, and going,
This is... Now I agree with Mr. Bell. Now I agree with Mr. Bell when he says people have nothing but septic tanks inside their skull.
I agree.
Wait a second. Lori, you say you agree, but this guy has got a 4 to 5-year-old, and he's going, pointing to his mouth and doing all of this inappropriate stuff.
Exactly,
I've been listening to this guy. He is not necessarily the famous person in the world.
I see. Okay, I see. So in other words, I'm the father, I've got the daughters, I've got the wife, but all of you people are going to judge me like I'm a monkey in a locked ward. Okay, thank you.
I do apologize, sir. We did not. I personally did not mean to judge you, but I do think it's inappropriate to talk to about that. You may to your adult wife.
I agree. I agree with Lori.
To your adult children.
Yeah. I agree with Lori.
Well, Lori, and I agree with you, Lori, as well. But I'm saying it's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with steak, and it doesn't have. Not when I have to go and point to my mouth and put my
Oh, sir, you're disgusting. Hang on. Lori, thank you very much for your call, too. I appreciate it very, very much. 877-876-PHIL, here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Yes, sir, we're going to a break.
You're saying that I'm disgusting because I went...
I went, my wife wanted to know, and I said, you know how you talk? And I went, I was doing that.
He's a moron. Not only is he a moron, but I can see why maybe the kids are smarter than him. Probably the little girls who are 4 and 5 go, okay, Dad, we'll take it from here. What's the problem? Because you're a blithering idiot, and we know you're going to butcher it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Henry Show here, talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on why his slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, is meeting so much resistance and so much protest from many of our listeners and other advertisers. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, I feel that the First Amendment of the United States of America is very important. And if I want to put an advertising slogan on my restaurant that I think is going to bring you into the restaurant, then we all feel we have those rights.
Ted Bell with us here. Thank you, Ted. And we have people calling, and, you know, people are agreeing. People are disagreeing with the advertising slogan.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, Phil, I appreciate people's opinion. I really do. But I don't. You know, it doesn't really have much effect because I have a right, I have a constitutional right to put onto my business a slogan, an advertising gimmick of some kind that I feel is going to draw business. It's my business.
Right, but you don't want to do anything overtly sick.
No, of course I wouldn't want to.
All right, your billboard says we want to put our meat in your mouth. You have a picture of a girl in a bathing suit.
She's a model.
And it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Right.
Now, couldn't somebody confuse that for some strip joint or...
I beg your pardon?
Well, what I meant by that is...
I beg your pardon. See, understand what you're saying, Phil. You're calling my restaurant a steakhouse that is patronized by some very serious industry people as well as families from across the city, and you're telling me that my billboard looks like I'm inviting people to Cheetahs or to Olympic Gardens or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, is there a steak?
Boy, I don't know what to say to you.
Is there? I'm just asking. How do people know it's a steakhouse?
Because it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. That's what it says.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That was my only question, and I apologize. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. We got Stacy on the line. Stacy, go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell.
Hey, Ted. I'm sorry
to raise my voice.
Yeah, that's no problem. I just can't believe you really. I don't know. I don't think you should let people get to you like this. It is your business. You're going to have lovers. You're going to have haters. And this has been going on forever. Society's allowed us to think this way, and there's nothing wrong with it. I was driving down the road. I couldn't believe what I heard when I heard your jingle. But at the same time, you know what? I was also thinking about other things at the same time. So Victoria's Secret can't have half-naked mannequins because that's going to sell sex, and we're going to have to explain that to the children who are 45
riding
out in that car. Do I need to explain to my children why I'm going into that store and why I'm buying what that model's wearing? I don't think so.
Exactly. And you look at I looked up some advertising slogans that could be interpreted in a less than family way. You may remember there was a time when M&M's had did you know M&M's the candy? You know the candy?
Yeah.
They used to say melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Now I can take that and turn that into something that is so depraved and base that, you know, the devil himself would swing the gates of hell open for the manufacturers of M&M's. Well, you can laugh if you want, but see, I'm the guy that's being persecuted.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Yeah, and here's another one. Just another one. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Remember Colonel Sanders, the chicken place? They used to have a slogan called Finger Lickin' Good. Now, you could turn that into, well, I would, even now, I'd be afraid to just walk up to somebody and say, finger licking good, because I'd probably take a knee to the genitals and...
Come on, man!
Oh, yeah, perception and interpretation are powerful tools, and it
exactly.
Uses on a daily basis in unfair bias, and especially during political times. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I totally get what you were implying. If you want
so
to
you agree with... Yeah.
Totally get to taste the rainbow. It implies, hello, the rainbow's always been a sign of gay patriotism, all that.
Of gay, yeah, there you go, gay patriotism.
So I'll say it. I'll say it on the radio, and you know what? He's right, but he's feeding. I do think, unfortunately, he gets to feed into it a little, but I'm also, I'm sorry.
How am I feeding into it? How am I feeding into it? I mean, I'm trying to defend my business, you know.
Exactly.
And, when the guy said, taste the rainbow, and I'm like, do we have to expose our kids to every gay issue?
That's a Skittles advertising slogan. You don't know that?
Okay, and mine is a steakhouse, but you want to turn it into a slogan
into
for a bordello.
Yes, they're turning it into something it's not.
Exactly.
All right, let me get Ron
totally
back on the line. We have this father from San Antonio on the line. Ron, are you there?
I'm right here, yeah.
Okay, Ron, you heard the discussion, and we have on the line here Stacy. What do you say?
Well, I can tell you right now that I'm listening to you people, but I'm not believing it. I've got a 4- and a 5-year-old daughter, and no matter how hard I tried to cover up the meaning of we want to put our meat in your mouth, my daughters were immediately standing on the back seat looking at me like I was stupid.
I don't want to...
Well, you were...
stupid at all, but the conversation, like the last lady said, I've got a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old boy, and there is something that society used to respect and allow, and that was less is more. In a conversation where it's appropriate and or where it's not, you were secretly trying to get your wife to understand what you were seeing and
yes.
adjust.
Well, of course.
And see that,
yes,
and see that you didn't agree and that you had a disgusted opinion of it.
Yes, ma'am.
And I totally get that. I totally can respect
right.
your side of that, but at the same time, you know, you can stop that conversation. You're the adult and you're in control. I've stopped many conversations like that could have happened with me and my best friend as we see something that's sexual innuendos or something that's not...
I want to ask Ron, what did you do, Ron? Let me ask Ron, what did you do, Ron, that was trying to hide it?
Well, the first thing that I did, Mr. Henry, is I pulled the car over because I was shaken. I couldn't believe I saw a sign that says we want to... Is the lady there?
I am, sorry.
Okay, what were you doing?
I was coughing and clearing my throat. I'm on my headset.
Well,
sorry.
It sounded like were you laughing at me?
No, I'm serious. I'm not.
You were laughing at me.
I will if you want me to, but I wasn't. I was
yeah, take it easy, Ron, okay? Can we...
All right, well... I pulled the car over because I was shaken, and I said to my wife, I made a signal like I didn't want to talk about it, but I pointed to my mouth, I opened my mouth, and I don't know how to describe this, that you'll allow it on the radio, but I made a circular fingers and just went, ah.
To say that on the radio? And
oh, my God, no, I didn't. Oh, my God, no, I did. No, I did not, ma'am. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, my God.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse, come on down.
This is Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have Ron. Ron's with us. who does not agree with me using the slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," but we've been using it for a long time now.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
There you go. I don't know. I can tell you right now, I don't think that it's right, and I've mentioned that to a couple of the people that I had called the station about.
You were in Los Angeles.
I was in Southern California with my wife and my daughters. We're visiting the grandparents, my wife's parents, and that's when we saw Mr. Bell's billboard.
But where were you?
We were on the 405 freeway.
All right, well, you saw the one on the west side.
That's right. And at that time when I saw that, I was a little stunned because I've never seen "We Want to Put Our Meat in Your Mouth" on a billboard. And I said to my wife, "Can you believe?" And I realized the kids were in the back seat, so I began to use the hand gestures.
And you put your finger and your thumb together as in a circle.
That's correct. And I moved it back and forth.
Well, you know what? I don't expect that little children are going to understand what that means, but I don't know why you even needed to bring it up. That's my point.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Phil. When you have a stinking, backed-up toilet for a mind, and, excuse me, sir, I don't have a stinking, backed-up toilet for a mind. I have a father of two children. I'm a father of a little boy. Well, I've got two daughters, and I think it's a lot different when you've got little daughters who look up at a billboard and they see what you've got up there.
Well, it's a lady in a bathing suit.
Yeah, with the slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." Again, I got to ask you the question, sir. Do your daughters read? Are they able to read? No, they're 4 and 5 years old.
Then how did they know what it said?
They didn't know what it said until I had to pull over to just get my bearings after seeing something like that. And that's when I said to my wife, "Did you see that?" And she said, "No, I didn't." And I saw my daughters were looking at me, and I went, and I did the thing with my mouth. I just pointed my mouth going, "Ah." And you gentlemen can laugh if you want. No, I'm not laughing, sir. I am trying to understand what you did. In order for her to understand what I was talking about, I made a noise that she would understand.
What noise?
I don't, sir, want to tell you that. It's none of your business.
Well, I think he's talking about a gag replay.
Excuse me, that's none of your business, sir.
Come on, Ted. You know what, man? Why make it filthy when you say that it is filthy or it isn't? Why make it that way?
What? It's not filthy.
Then why make it like that? 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me get over to a phone call here as we are talking to you and to, God dang. Trying to, you know, never mind. Anyway, let's get over to a phone caller we have here. Paul, go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I think the problem is that he used a young, sexy-looking model because Dave Thomas made millions with a 70-year-old lady with knee-high stockings on and her bridge hat thing. Where's the beef? So if the lawmakers in that area attack you, just change it from "We want to put our meat in your mouth" to "We want to put our beef in your mouth" and see what they say. Do you guys know who...
Well, there's a big difference, sir, though. I understand your point, and I appreciate that. But there is a big difference between an old lady and a sexy model.
Well,
and, you know, we're not sitting here saying that... I really don't know what you're getting at. Well, I can tell you what he's getting at. He wants to have it be about, it's still going in the mouth. Of course it is.
It's still going in the mouth. And Dave Thomas made millions by getting you to put beef in your mouth. And what's the difference?
Dave Thomas didn't say put beef in your mouth. That's my slogan. Dave Thomas said, "Where's the beef?"
Exactly. And what he's saying is in your mouth. What's the difference? The 70-year-old lady saying, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef?"
I agree.
You can turn it into anything you want to turn it into. He's simply saying, "Where's the meat? It's at my restaurant. Come
right,
eat it."
Right.
That's all
right.
He's saying.
And so Paul is agreeing with you, Ted, but Ron, Paul disagrees with you.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm going to go back to saying what I had said before, that I've got two girls in the car who...
You're not prepared to raise girls. You're not prepared to be a father.
because
I beg your pardon.
What you did, because actually what you did, someone could turn around and turn call Child Protective Services on you.
Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind?
You said that you took a 4- and 5-year-old, opened your mouth, and did some gesture as if you were performing oral sex. And
no, sir, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did it to my wife. No, sir, I was talking to my wife. The girls were overhearing it.
Oh, but hold up. But you don't think a 4- and 5-year-old are watching their dad and mother in a such engaged conversation? Listen.
They don't know what it means.
If a 70-year-old lady in knee-high stockings and her bridge hat can say, where's the beef, why can't he have a sexy young model say, I want to put my beef in your, put my meat in your mouth? There's no difference. There's a baker, commercial baker named Mrs. Smith. You all got to know Mrs. Smith, right? She's in every frozen food section in America. Now,
well, you talk. I know about your, well, you're talking about Sara Lee or something like that?
Okay, Sara Lee. If I go to Sara Lee and say, Sarah, Mrs. Lee, can I have some of your pie? You think she's gonna drop her drawers? Come on, guys.
Well, I appreciate what the gentleman's saying. This is Ted, Paul. What he's saying? No, hold on. I want to say something here, Paul. If you're telling me that an old lady wanting, you know, the beef, and a sexy young model wanting the meat. Boy, okay, knock yourself out.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
This guy thinks an old lady going for the beef is, it's going to gun his engine. I'm talking about something serious.
Wait a second. What the gentleman was saying, there is a sexual innuendo no matter what.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this guy here, Paul. Are you saying when the old lady, that Clara Peller, whoever that old lady was, and by the way, Dave Thomas, everybody loves to kiss his rear end. You know what? On my worst day, I do more business than that guy. But anyway...
Okay, let's not knock a guy that's not here, okay?
Oh, well,
listen,
I didn't want to do that. Let me just say something. Let me just say. The
what,
old
what
lady with
this?
The...
What if he took his commercial and put an old lady in it and said, we want to put our beef in your mouth. Would that be acceptable to you?
I don't know about you, Paul, but I've got a mother. I've got a grandmother. Oh, my God. And now you want my 4-year-old girl to look at a grandmother taking... Ted's beef.
Okay, now that you want your mother and dad, listen.
Oh, my God, I got to tell you. You know, this is the most asinine conversation.
All right, Mr. Henry, I've got a 4- and 5-year-old.
Yeah, you've told me you've got a 4- and 5-year-old. And instead of just ignoring it, Paul, I appreciate your call. I got to move on. Instead of just waiting till you got home, you know.
I'm not going to wait till I got home when I see something so glaringly wrong with the world. And that's Mr. Ted Bell with, I want to put my meat in your mouth. Sir, that is about a steak. I've been telling everyone that's about a steak. You can tell everyone it's about a steak when you got a billboard with a woman and she's dressed like she's dressed for the champagne room. Oh, get out of here. That's exactly what she's dressed for, the champagne room. And I've got a 4-year-old daughter who's leaning in and in my ear saying, what are you talking about? What are the two of you calling? Tell what, like that. What do you want me to do, backhand her? Hey, let me tell you what. If I had a 4-year-old daughter who was butting into my adult conversation, I wouldn't backhand her, but I would, let me put it to you this way. I'd get out a handy wipe and start wiping off the back of one hand just, you know, so she'd get the message. Whatever. You know, sir, you could say whatever. You think you're the father of the year with your two little girls. I've got a 13-year-old son that I've had to explain some things to. And let me tell you, even though it's a model in a bathing suit, and even though, yes, with a 13-year-old boy, it's probably something that you might clap him on the back and say, someday, son, all of that is yours. Okay, go ahead, laugh. Still, you want him to treat that woman with respect, even after he's... Well, I guess I'm getting in a little deep, but I was going to say even after he shows her a billfold, but I...
Come on!
You guys think that this is disrespecting a woman is funny. I have 2 daughters. Yeah, we get it already about your daughters. God! You and your daughters, pal. You think there's something wrong with me having daughters? Frankly, yes. Say that again. Frankly, yes. Why? Well, to be honest with you, I don't know whether you are competent to have daughters. You heard what the one lady said.
Well, I will say this. I wouldn't disrespect you and say you're not competent to have a son, but you're probably not competent enough to have a wife that you don't even know what to do with her. Well, now you've gotten on the fighting side of me. Yeah? That's right.
Okay, gentlemen, enough. Enough, enough. 877-876-PHIL. Now you've got on the fighting side of me. Where are we going here, man? Let's go to Dan. Hey, Dan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell and Ron. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. Ted, yes, I'm going to Miami in 3 weeks. I hope to visit your restaurant, and I want to put your meat in my mouth. Send your ad agency an extra 10%, will you? They did an excellent job. Ron, I'm glad Paul said it before I did. If I saw you pulled over on the side of the road, making those gestures, doing that in front of those kids, I would have called the police.
Why? What are you going to do? What are you going to tell the police? That the man was doing hand gestures?
Absolutely.
And when the cops laugh and hang up on you.
You pointed something out. Those children had no idea what was going on. You brought it to their attention.
And when the cops laugh and hang up on you, what are you going to do there?
If a teacher had done that, you would have saw that teacher charged. You should not be doing that. You should not have.
No, maybe in your burg. Maybe up in your burg. But I'm a father, and I've got two daughters. And when this guy puts a billboard up, see, you are defending a guy that wants to... who wants to plunge the toilet of his mind and scoop it up and throw it up on a billboard. That's what you want to do. And I'm saying he doesn't get to do that. No, sir, not on my watch. So when I see that billboard and I
First
pull
Amendment,
over and I tell...
tough one.
Oh, yeah, First Amendment. In other words, let's have a strip joint 2 feet from a school. That's First Amendment too, right?
That doesn't pertain to, Ron,
I think you need to know your law, sir. You want to put a Playboy magazine right there, a Playboy magazine rack right next to a little kid?
All right, let's not talk about that, because we're not talking about that, Ron. We're talking about a man that's got a steakhouse. And by the way, you can travel any freeway in Southern California or anywhere. I don't know where Dan's from. Any major metropolitan area, and you will see billboards for gentlemen's clubs.
You bet.
For strip clubs.
Absolutely.
They're not tasteless. They're tasteful. They have a phone number, and they've got beautiful women, but there's nothing that I would say that is obscene.
Well, do they say we want to go ahead and put our meat in your mouth?
It's a steakhouse, man. A steakhouse.
Thank you. But, Ron, what you want to do is, I respect you for being a father, but you want to make a simple situation worse. So you pulled over... And instead of just saying, hey, I'll talk about it, honey, when we get home, good thing the kids didn't see it, you pull over, and you're going, I didn't say, But what did you do? I said to my wife, I said, the billboard that we just saw over there, and then I went, I made a gagging sound. Okay, you guys can laugh about that. And
you made a gagging sound?
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, man. This guy, Dan, is right.
I think so.
Why would you have
He's
done
right
that
about what?
A 4- and 5-year-old girl.
A cop sees...
Because I wanted my wife to understand. Are you guys listening to me, or is this
you
just your way
this
of...
to your wife as well? You have to explain this to your wife. Your wife is not adult enough that she figured it out on her own.
She didn't
have the same impression of the billboard that you did then.
She
right?
didn't see it, sir. She didn't see it.
Then why did you even point it out? Why did you bring it
yeah.
up? It seems like
I knew the kids
like should have been left alone.
Do you have daughters? If you live with three women, as I do, you know that sooner or later they're going to be. They won't leave you alone until you lock yourself in a closet. Hey, Daddy,
so
what's the
why
billboard?
Would you
Daddy?
Bring up the billboard? Couldn't you have brought up another subject?
I knew sooner or later they wouldn't leave me alone. Because I knew sooner or later they wouldn't leave me alone about it.
The billboard and showing, animating, miming oral sex
right.
was what? The right type of entertainment?
Why even bring it up? Why not wait? If you say the kids are going to bring it up, why not wait until they bring it up?
Oh, yeah, sure. Right when I'm in the middle of watching, oh, forget it.
Oh, right in the middle of your TV viewing, your daughters are going to come in and say, hey, Daddy, can we talk to you?
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Well,
all right.
You know what? All three of you guys, you, Mr. Hendry, this man, Dan, and you, Mr. Bell, you know something? I'm very, very happy that I'm going to be here enjoying a cup of lemonade when the three of you are probably meeting the devil at the gates of hell and getting your seating assignments.
That was
beautiful. I'll be in good company. I will be in very good
company. Thanks for your call, Dan. 877. Oh, boy, we cut off Ted there. 877. I'll be having a cup of lemonade, and the three of you will be getting your seating assignments in hell. 877-876-PHIL, world famous. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The
so
Phil Henry Show.
You really are.
Oh, relax, will you?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Everything that they were doing.
All right, hold on, Ron. Hold on. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're on with a gentleman by the Ron. I don't even know your last name.
My last name, Phil, is Ron Burlingame, but we live in San Antonio. We were in California. I remember asking the man what his confusion was. He said, "Well, you know, how do you know there's no Ted of Beverly Hills in San Antonio?" I wouldn't have one in San Antonio, sir. If you're an example of the citizenry there, well, thank you very much for that insult. And sir, you have taken my advertising for an honest business, and you've turned it into something profane and foul. You've turned it into, I think what you, didn't you say that I need to take a toilet plunger to my head? I said you needed to take a toilet plunger, yes, figuratively speaking, yes. You need to take a toilet plunger to your head to suck some of the toilet mess out of it and slap it on a billboard. Yeah. Tony, you think, are you paying me a compliment? No, I'm not at all. Then why would I want you or any of your kind to come into my restaurant? Believe me when I tell you, mister, I wouldn't come into your restaurant, okay? That's the whole point I'm trying to make here. And
well, all right, look, you guys are going round and round here, but the fact is you are upset with the advertising. You would not go into that restaurant. But I think what you've done here, Ron, is you've taken it a step further here. You are talking about how you communicated it to your daughter. You're talking about how you communicated it to your wife.
That's right. I communicated it the best way that I knew how. What I said was to Cassie and to Eleanor, I said, I didn't say anything to them, but I knew they were in the back seat. I looked at their mother, all right, and I said to my wife, look, we just passed the billboard. And
what is your wife's name?
I'd rather not say what my wife's name is, if you don't mind.
Well, you've given us your daughter's names.
No. Well, you just broke the anonymity of your daughter. What's your wife's name? And why would you? Well, boy, you're really anxious to know that, huh? You want to get her up on a billboard?
Oh, come on, grow up.
No, I just want to know what her name is. Her name's Cindy. Okay. God. Well, I mean, you're all wanting to know everyone's name. I don't want to get, sir, I'm a family man, and I'm a businessman, and I would never want to disrespect any man's family. You, on the other hand, with all due respect, you sound like a blithering idiot. Okay, thank you. I'm not offending you or anything, am I? With every word out of your mouth.
All right, hold on. So, you were making a point here, Ron, about what?
About what I said to Mr. Bell. I said, if you're going to take a toilet plunger to your head in a figurative way, that's what you'd have to do. That's what I'd have to do. To do what? To get a slogan out of your skull like we want to put it in the mouth. We want to put it in the mouth. The meat is what I'm saying. All right. And you would have to take a toilet plunger to your skull to get the material needed.
All right, we understand that Mr. Bell has a sewer system up there between his ears.
No, I didn't say sewers. I said a toilet. Big difference. All right, there's a big difference. And I think the point is made that I have garbage between my ears. More than garbage. So now, when I see a billboard that says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I know that's from the Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant, I'm going to go the other way. Good. I hope you do. And you don't care. No, I do not care, sir. I don't want you in my restaurant. And I'll tell you one other thing, too. Now, just hearing your comments, I wouldn't want you. I wouldn't want your kids in my restaurant. I don't want your entire family because I don't know what you've done to the minds of those children who now think that, you know, and you're in a gag reflex.
I had to let my wife know what was on the billboard, so I went like that. And she knows what that means. She better.
Phil
does it every night.
Well, you dirty...